Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here for what should be a relatively quick episode, as we really don't have too much Tesla news today. However, still a very wild day in the market with the FOMC meeting, so we'll talk about that. We do have a little bit of Tesla news, and then we've also got reporting on US sales from a number of different automakers for the month of April. All right, so looking at the markets, quite a roller coaster of volatility today, as expected with the FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, meeting. We'll talk about all the takeaways from that meeting, but after some of the comments made by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, the market did rally. The NASDAQ finished up 3.2% on the day. It's the fifth best performance for the NASDAQ this year. And of course, Tesla following the NASDAQ around for most of the day, albeit with a higher beta, ending the day up 4.8% for a top 10 finish for the year as well, to close at $952.62. So pretty clearly today, all macro-driven, and in the absence of other news, that's what we're going to focus on here. So I want to go through the Fed meeting, both the statement they released and the comments made afterward by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Of course, the headline is that the Fed did end up raising interest rates. So the federal funds target rate now moved to 0.75% to 1%. It's a 50 basis point increase, or 0.5%. That's the largest increase in one single meeting in the last two decades. Of course, as we had talked about, this was expected, so that release didn't actually end up moving the markets all that much. Similarly, the announcement by the Fed that they will begin unwinding their holdings of Treasury securities and other such items from the balance sheet beginning on June 1st. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but back to interest rates. In terms of that increase, the FOMC said that across the committee, there was unanimous support for this 50 basis point increase. Now, as usual, we won't get the actual meeting minutes until a couple weeks from now. That's just how the schedule works. So a lot of the insight on where the Fed is planning to go from here comes from the statement and question and answer portion with Fed Chairman Jerome Powell afterwards. And with this interest rate increase pretty much being expected, really the big question is where things go from here. And that's where the market really started to move today. Throughout that meeting, I took a few notes that I'll share here. Felt kind of similar to an earnings call. Powell kind of kicked it off, emphasizing that the Fed does believe that ongoing increases are appropriate and that, of course, policy will remain adaptive as the Fed sees how some of these changes affect the economy, as well as just the macroeconomic challenges in terms of supply chain, COVID in China, Russia and Ukraine, a lot of uncertainty caused by some of these things. So adaptability was highlighted, but also the need to move expeditiously as inflation does remain high. That need for expediency was emphasized quite a few times throughout the Q&A. And in probably the clearest form of guidance, Powell said that, quote, there is a broad sense on the committee that additional 50 basis point increases should remain on the table at the next couple of meetings, end quote. So without forgetting that adaptability was emphasized as being important, that statement does give pretty clear guidance, plus then the plan for the balance sheet unwinding. Those items should reduce a lot of the uncertainty that has been present. At that point, the market hadn't reacted all that strongly either way, but then the question was asked if a 75 or 100 basis point increase is something that might be on the table. Powell said that, quote, a 75 basis point increase is not something the committee is actively considering, end quote. And that's when the market really started to take off. I don't have the exact quote on this, but Powell also seemed to emphasize that he doesn't really see the purpose of such a steep increase and seemed to believe that 50 basis point moves are steep enough. I think the market's reaction to that also kind of goes to show how the expectations have been set at this point. That a statement like that could cause relief in the market is pretty telling of where those expectations have trended. Powell went on to share some of his thoughts on inflation and the economy in general. He said, quote, we need to do everything we can to restore stable prices. We will do it as quickly and effectively as we can, end quote. He walked through a lot of economic indicators pointing to a relatively strong economy, despite the preliminary report that GDP did decline in the first quarter. He highlighted high demand in the labor market, noting that it was extremely tight, with job vacancies significantly outpacing unemployment. That's at about a 2-to-1 ratio, which is the highest it's been in at least the last couple of decades. So Powell noted that despite that decline in GDP for the economy in general, quote, underlying momentum remains strong, end quote. With that GDP decline, which of course is the first of two steps towards a recession, he was asked quite a few questions around that and said, quote, I think we have a good chance to restore price stability without a recession, end quote. But he also notes that that's not entirely within the Fed's control and that the tools that the Fed has are famously imprecise, again, emphasizing the need to remain adaptive. A couple of other comments he made on policy that I thought were worth highlighting, these a little bit more longer term. He said that if inflation doesn't subside, that it's, quote, certainly possible that we will need to move to policies to levels we view as restrictive rather than neutral, end quote. And, quote, the decision about how high to go will be on the table when we reach neutral, end quote. So basically, no need to make that decision at this point in time. They're raising rates anyway. Once they get to a more neutral level, they can reevaluate if further increases are warranted at that time. Last couple of things from Powell then, he did say about the reduction in the balance sheet. There's a lot of uncertainty in what sort of an effect that will have, but they do want to unwind that and get back to a place where the interest rates are the active tool of monetary policy. So pretty interesting stuff. This obviously has a huge effect on the market and the economy, and we're spending a lot more time on it than normal because there is and will continue to be a lot more action on this than is typical given the current macro environment. Quickly looking at the calendar, it's going to be a bit for the next meeting that'll happen in mid-June, and then the following meeting will be in late July. And then, of course, another couple of items to keep an eye out for. As we've talked about, next week, the Consumer Price Index and Producer Price Index reports come out. That's on Wednesday and Thursday. All right, moving on from macro, getting into the huge, huge amount of Tesla news that we have. Basically, the only update today is on the center screen for the refreshed Model S and Model X. Remember, in the early days of seeing these prototypes, we were seeing some of them have swivel screen capability, but we have yet to see that available in production vehicles. It appears until now. So a new owner of a Model S delivered on April 29th, Larry Lee on Twitter, shared out a video of his center screen swiveling. And importantly, it is being controlled by the user interface, which would seem to increase the likelihood at least that this is legitimate rather than an aftermarket modification. That's especially important here because this person does aftermarket modifications. So as far as I know, this is not 100% certain yet, but we do have an update here from Ryan McCaffrey, who does the fantastic Ride the Lightning Tesla podcast. I've got a lot of trust in his reporting, and he said last Friday that he got rock solid confirmation from a Tesla source that the latest Model S and Model X cars do have the hardware for this functionality. Further confirmation of that comes from Michael Hsu on Twitter, who shared out a few photos that are apparently being displayed at Tesla's Taiwan Center, and these show a few high-resolution marketing shots of the swivel screen in action. So it seems like a couple of good pieces of confirmation for this feature. All right, last couple of things here. We are looking at other automaker sales for the month of April in the United States. We've got reports here from Ford, Honda, Hyundai Kia, Mazda, Subaru, Toyota, and Volvo as well. So we've got seven OEMs here reporting that in aggregate, their total sales for the month of April were down 21% year over year, and that so far for the first 4 months of 2022, year over year sales down 16.5%. So April, start of Q2, actually running a decent amount below where Q1 levels were. Honda fared the worst on this list. Their sales were down 40% year over year. Their press release didn't have a whole lot of information, but they did point to supply constraints. Mazda and Volvo did the best with single-digit declines, but their smaller volume of automakers above 100,000 units, Ford did the best at down 11%. Ford also noted stronger electric vehicle sales. Their sales of EVs were up 139% year over year. The Mustang Mach-E sold about 3,800 units in the US. That was up 95% from last April. And so far year to date, they've sold 10,500. That's up 23% from year to date 2021. Lastly then, just a quick heads up that tomorrow Lucid will be reporting their quarterly earnings. Always kind of interesting to see what the progress is for these newer EV companies, so we'll keep an eye on that. But really, that is it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, May 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.